Romans 3 is like a chapter explaining to us why our lives should be a big thank you note to God. It starts off with Paul talking about if we really love God, we should serve Him with our hearts, and we shouldn't look at our lives as just a free pass that we get to do whatever we want and sin just because God's going to forgive us. And then it goes on and talks about how nobody really deserves God's love, that no matter how good we are, we still fall short of who God is. But thankfully, because of God's plan through Jesus, Jesus pays for all that bad with His death, and we have life. We get the life that He didn't get to have, that He didn't get to keep. But then because God's God, God raises Jesus from the dead, and we all win. We all win, and we all get to have life because of God's decision to do what He did through Jesus Christ. And it made me just think about the gospel as a big thank you note to God for what He did. We talk about the gospel, we talk about what does it mean. It's such a religious term, it's such a Christianese term. What it really means is good news, and we've talked about what is the good news of Jesus Christ. Really, I think what it's trying to say and what it's trying to communicate to us, and it's saying, hey, you've been given something really good, and are you going to live your life as a thank you note to God? And right away, as we try and think about a thank you note to God, it's hard because I don't like writing thank you notes. Thank you notes are boring. Thank you notes seem like it's a chore. Your parents make you write your thank you notes. I remember after my senior graduation, you know, and getting all the gifts and all the money and all the stuff that I got, having to write thank you notes. And even though I graduated in May, I did not get those thank you notes sent out until college. It was not until August that those thank you notes made it into the mailbox with my writing on it, with my name on it, and a thank you for the gifts that I was given. Writing thank you notes were a chore, and my heart, even though these people who loved me, who cared about me, even though these people gave out of what they had, they gave out of their resources for me to better prepare me in life, to make me feel special, to congratulate me, to give me stuff that I would need in college and further in life, even though these people gave out of their hearts, I did not have a heart of gratitude and real thankfulness for what they were doing. Instead, it was more of like I deserved it. You know, I couldn't have noticed it then. It's not like in the moment I was like, oh yeah, I deserve all this stuff. But I look back on it now, and I look at the lack of gratitude I had in my heart for the things people got me, the money people gave me when I graduated, and I can't help but see, you know what? What was really going on was it felt like I deserved it. I mean, I was a pretty good person. You know, I was used to getting things. An attitude of entitlement is what really was in my heart. Not an attitude of gratitude, but an attitude of entitlement. I think about also some of the gifts that my grandfather gave me. My life would be radically different if it weren't for my grandfather, who, because of whatever was going on in him, and my grandpa wasn't even a believer, and he's passed now, but for whatever God did through him, God used him, and he gave me lots of money. He decided early on that he would save for my college. I graduated from college debt-free, had everything paid off. I was able to put a down payment on the house I now live in because of my grandpa. And I didn't realize that at the time. Again, I go back to who I was as a teenager, as a young adult, just right out of high school, and I lacked an attitude of real gratitude and real thankfulness, because when I got those gifts, when I received those gifts from my grandpa, it just felt cool. It just felt like, oh, awesome, sweet, I got a lot of money. But I look back on it now, being in the future, and I look back for what I was given, what others sacrificed to give to me, what my grandpa sacrificed to give to me, and I look that I'm in a house, that we don't owe anything on our cars, we just have our house payment to meet, that's the only debt we have. I don't pay student loans. I'm able to keep most of the money I make, that I, the family I have now, that I wouldn't have Ev probably if it weren't for that, just because the way things change, the way things happen, that every moment in my life has led up to where I'm at now. And I think about it now, and I wished I could have written a really meaningful thank you note to my grandpa for what he did, because he gave me the type of life that I have now. That's the same type of gratitude that Paul is talking about as he's writing to us, as he's writing to those who are trying to live out faith. He says, you know, live with an attitude of gratitude because you don't deserve it. You may think you deserve it, but you don't deserve it. You only have what you have. You only have a relationship with God because He decided to give it to you. So, because He decided to give it to you, because you couldn't earn it, because you fall short, are you living your life with a real thankfulness in your heart for what God did through Jesus? And what does that look like? And Paul, probably more than anybody else in the entire Bible, except for Jesus, Paul can speak to this because he thought he was really good. His culture, by his culture's definitions, by his Jewish culture's definitions, he was really good. He had memorized lots of scripture. He was super religious. He was persecuting the other Christians. He was acting out for his culture, trying to preserve his culture, trying to preserve his ways. He was doing all this, trying to suppress what Jesus was doing because his culture told him he was really good. And I think we get into the same mentality where what we're doing is we're judging ourselves by the culture we're in. We're pretty good people. We do lots of the right things. We avoid lots of the quote-unquote bad things. So we judge ourselves by the people we are around, just like Paul did. He was judging himself by the people he was around, and by those standards, he was at the top. And when we compare ourselves to the people we are around, we miss that message that he talks about in 3:23, in Romans 3:23, where he says, you know, we've all fallen short of who God is. And because we fall short, we are so at God's mercy for ever having anything good. And if we realize that, if we accept that, if we take a moment to say, you know what, I feel pretty good about myself. I deserve a lot of the good things that happen to me. Not that we have that conscious thought. I mean, I don't know if I've ever woken up in the morning. I doubt there's really ever been people, you know, that wake up in the morning and are like, yeah, I just deserve good things to happen to me. Not that it's a conscious thought, but I really feel like what resides in our subconsciousness, just the attitude that exists inside of our soul without us really having to try, is this attitude that I'm pretty good, good things should happen to me. Because you know what? We get really angry and we get mad and we get hurt when what? When life isn't fair. It's not fair that this other person got this thing and I didn't. It's not fair that it was easier for them to get that grade or to get that position or to get that role or to get that spot. There's a lot of stuff that happens to us in the day which we would say is not fair. But what Paul is trying to tell us and communicate to us is saying, you know what? We don't deserve anything. It is only by God's good grace, grace being that undeserved love, it is the undeserved love that God has for us that we have anything good. It is the undeserved love that God feels for us that prompted Him to send Jesus to die for our sins, to die for all the ways that we feel short, to pay our debt that was keeping us from connecting to God. It is that unprompted love that God has for us that we should feel in our hearts, so that when we live out our day, we live out our day as if it's a thank you card back to God, and not in the chore-like sense where we just go through religious activities, where we just do the things we know we should do because, you know, it's the right thing to do. That we're not living out of an attitude of, okay, I just need to do this because God says so. But we look at our lives, we look at the good things God has given us, and we say, you know, I really am nothing. without what God did through Jesus. And that's what the gospel is. That's what the good news is. It's not just that God tells me to love others. The gospel isn't just, oh, what do I do? Oh, I just love others. That's not God's message, just love others. People who don't have God still love others. Atheists still love others. Buddhists still love others. What Christianity is, what the good news and what the gospel is of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ is that through him, through Jesus' death, we have all these good things. Our hearts have been reconnected to God. And now we have a relationship with God, a relationship with Jesus, a relationship with the Holy Spirit, the triune community, the Trinity of God. We have this experience of God because of what God did and not because of what we can do. It's not us, it's him that initiates this reconnection and this relationship, and that will last now and forever.